It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to decide the fate of President Obama's health care law later this week. Justices could strike down the law or a portion of it, but supporters say that will not end the debate. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says if it's overturned, he's ready to go back to the drawing board on health care.
The problems are still out there. The cost of health insurance is going to continue to increase. More and more people will fall out of coverage or have to buy very poor health insurance, and that's going to force us to do something.
The court might target only what's known as the individual mandate, which is intended to force some people to purchase coverage. Durbin says he favors that requirement as it makes sure when people get sick, the cost is covered rather than shifted on to medical providers or the government. He says it's about personal responsibility. Durbin says he has no idea how the court will rule. No matter what the U.S. Supreme Court rules when it comes to the Federal Health Care Act, many Illinoisans will enjoy the benefits of at least one aspect of the law. The federal law allows young adults to remain on their parents' health insurance until their 26th birthday. Illinois had already passed a similar law in 2009, but David Grant, an official with the State Department of Insurance, says there are two key differences between the state and federal laws.
We would not have any effect over self-funded. Those persons covered through self-funded programs, number one. And number two, our law goes to those dependents that are unmarried versus married.
Self-funded programs are often used by large companies such as Caterpillar and Boeing. While the young adult provisions of state law do not apply in those cases, the federal health care law forces those companies to allow 19 to 25-year-olds to stay on their parents' insurance. The federal government says Indiana seniors and people with disabilities in the Medicare donut hole coverage gap have saved $93.5 million on prescription drugs since 2010 under the federal health care overhaul. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services released data today that includes Indiana savings of $10 million through the first 5 months of this year. Under the law, Medicare paid a $250 donut hole prescription rebate in 2010. Last year, it cut half the cost of certain brand name drugs and for generics, gave 7% discounts last year and 14% this year. If the Supreme Court upholds the Affordable Care Act, discounts for both types of prescriptions will keep growing each year. A lawyer who challenged Indiana's immigration law in federal court says the U.S. Supreme Court's decision today blocking part of a similar law in Arizona shows the Indiana law is unconstitutional. A federal judge last year blocked part of the Indiana law that gave local police power to arrest anyone who has had certain actions filed against them by immigration authorities. Ken Falk with the American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana says that law goes further than the Arizona law because it allows police to arrest immigrants who have not committed a crime. Falk says the Indiana law is a, quote, clear violation of the Fourth Amendment. Indiana Attorney General Greg Zoeller says he'll review the decision and advise state lawmakers of any changes needed in the statute they passed in 2011. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says he's pushing for a legislative solution to the Illinois massive pension debt, but he says any deal must have local school districts paying their share. Michael Puente reports.
The state of Illinois now pays the pension costs for suburban and downstate teachers. Governor Quinn says that has to stop. He continues to say any plan to deal with Illinois' $83 billion debt must include school districts picking up the pension costs, something Republicans are trying to fight off. Quinn says the state is spending $12.5 million a day for not having a new pension funding plan in place.
You can't have someone negotiating a contract with teachers and then giving the bill for retirement to the taxpayers at large of Illinois. Local school boards should be accountable for their local decisions. That's a principle that will have served our country, our state well for centuries.
Quinn has set his own deadline of June 30th to get a deal done, but Senate Republican leader Christine Rodonio has said a deal may not happen until after the November elections. I'm Michael Puente.
New students at the University of Illinois have now been given IDs that also function as debit cards. That's been the case for the last five academic years. An executive with U of I Credit Union admits the university's relationship with TCF Bank meant a challenge for his business. Credit Union Senior Vice President Greg Anderson says TCF has an inside track with the ability to register students as they arrive on campus. But Anderson says he has yet to see sustained success when looking at various relationships between colleges and banks, suggesting some of them go too far with promotions.
Try to make the ID card do too much with long distance and with local network of merchants, signing up merchants to have a kind of a closed loop credit process instead of using a Visa network or PIN-based network that exists already. So there's lots of ideas, but some of those are harder to bring to fruition.
Anderson admits the real challenge is asking students to start accounts with the credit union when TCF has branch locations on all three U of I campuses and near the Chicago area home of many students. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group and U.S. Senator Dick Durbin have raised concerns over the relationship some universities have with banks, particularly those in which bank fees can cut into student aid. And U of I student trustee David Pileski says students are being bombarded by TCF representatives. As the University of Illinois prepares for a change in leadership, Urbana Chancellor Phyllis Wise sees it as a time to look to the future without distractions. In the time since President Michael Hogan announced his resignation in March, Wise says her learning and listening tour has given her a better idea of the culture on campus. But the chancellor says she's also always thought of her job as that of enabler, letting faculty and students say what they believe is right.
It's said that universities are unique in their governance. In actuality, I think any great leader, whether it's in the not-for-profit world or the corporate world, if they don't listen to their constituents, is not going to be an effective leader. So we just have that in an organized structure. That is, that there are actual rules by which we live.
Hogan steps down as president next week, and longtime administrator Robert Easter will take over as president. Hogan resigned after criticism from faculty and students over his management style. Wise said there were disagreements with Hogan on the issue of enrollment management, but denies that she was bullied by the president, as reported by some media outlets. She says the two have strong opinions on the issue of governance, but also did not have much time to get acquainted since she arrived on campus last August. Chancellor Wise appeared on this morning's Focus program. Illinois and Indiana aren't the only Midwestern states worried about the impact of drought conditions. Missouri Governor Jay Dixon wants federal agriculture officials to determine whether heat and drought conditions are taking a toll on his state's crops and livestock. The National Climatic Data Center says moderate drought conditions persist across nearly 87% of Missouri. Illinois and Indiana are facing similar conditions, and extreme drought conditions exist in southeast Missouri, just as they do in southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. An assessment by the Federal Farm Service Agency would be a first step in seeking a disaster declaration, which, under certain conditions, could pave the way for some farmers to become eligible for emergency loans. Attorney General Eric Holder has named an assistant federal prosecutor to serve as acting U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois after the resignation of Patrick Fitzgerald. Holder announced Gary Shapiro's appointment this morning in Chicago. Shapiro has served as first assistant U.S. attorney for the last 14 years and has four decades of experience as a federal prosecutor in Chicago. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Shapiro has worked on cases involving international terrorism, public corruption, and organized crime. Fitzgerald resigned last month after 24 years as a prosecutor, during which time he brought legal action against two Illinois governors. He said he believes new blood will be healthy for the office. Shapiro is 65 years old and lives in the suburb of Evanston. And the Illinois Supreme Court has formed a committee to pick a replacement for Judge John Schonkweiler of the 6th Judicial Circuit. Schonkweiler is retiring July 31st. Nine attorneys are being considered to replace him. The Decatur Herald and Review reports the committee will interview each lawyer and make a recommendation to Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman. Garman and the rest of the justices will then decide. Schonkweiler has been chief judge since 1994 in the East Central Illinois District, which includes Champaign, Piatt, Macon, Douglas, Moultrie, and DeWitt counties. There's more news all the time at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.